Well, good afternoon, everyone. It's good to be here. It's good to see some interest in the ministry that we've done for some years as a family. My name is Jake Penner. My wife is, where is she out here? Oh, over there. Yeah, she's going to hand out some copies from what we put together. Yeah, we're a family of seven of us, five children. Oldest is 20, Julia is 20, Stephanie isn't here. She's 18, and Tania's there, 14. Tyrell and Lanita, the youngest, too. So he's a family. We started a widow's ministry about 8 years ago, and somehow at that point we were not convinced that this was going to be an ongoing thing. We tried it for 1 year. We felt the Lord was showing this to us, and it has just kind of opened out. It was just like God poured his blessing on it, and it grew every year. Last year we had eight different banquets in probably in an hour and a half drive, like surrounding area. We had over 500 on the list. And I'm sure this brother can probably share from India of a lot more widows than what we have in our area. But we were quite amazed what we saw in our area. We had just we had never known that there were so many lonely people. Of course, they get by. They get used to where they are and what they do. But it seemed to be more in a remote area where they're. Have less to do. There's less programs for them. There's less things going on. Like, we have little towns around our communities, and just very little for them. So if we come together once a year and prepare a banquet for them, that's a special event. And there's some that would say, actually, if we ask them what their days are like or what they're looking forward to in their life, well, the only thing that they kind of know is till next year's banquet, till next year when we will come back. And to me, that is very, that is different than what we're used to. We have all kinds of things in our lives that we look forward to. Most of these, of course, are, you know, senior people. And it's different than younger ones. We did one in Mexico 3 years ago in a Mennonite settlement that was all like, more like Old Colony, which is more like Amish, little more of the that type of people that we had there to do banquets, and there were a lot more younger widows than what we have in Canada. So we had something for the children as well. That was different, completely different than what we have been doing in Canada for many years. Okay, not to make that too long, so you have a little bit of an upfront idea of what we're doing, or a little bit of an understanding. We live in Arbert, Manitoba, which is in Canada, central Canada somewhere, but in a northern, well, the first time I went there, I thought, like, this is, I can't believe that people are, you know, live here, way up north, and kind of remote, and but yeah, after all, there's a lot of people in that area as well, you know, getting to know them. You see, I grew up in Belize and didn't know Canada at that time till I was about 19 years, and found a beautiful lady there and got married, and that's where our home is since. And okay, back to our a little bit of explanation. Or just going through what a banquet looks like, where it starts, what the purpose is behind it. There's some verses in Job I'm going to touch on. Job 22:9 says, Thou hast sent widows away empty, and the arms of the fatherless have been broken. Exodus 22:22 says, Ye shall not afflict any widow or fatherless child. There's different verses from widows, which I just picked up. It's very obvious that it's a great dishonor to God if widows, people in need, or helpless people like that are being ignored or not being looked after. And in Matthew 23:14, it says, "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye devour widows' houses, and for a pretense make long prayer. Therefore ye shall receive the greater damnation." It is a common thing among hypocrites to abuse the pretense of zeal when in reality they are exercising covetousness and extortion. It's very obvious that it was very evil in the sight of God what they did. They used that kind of to gain honor, or they did that for their own purposes, and that wasn't beneficial at all. 1 Timothy 5:3, honor widows that are widows indeed. And the meaning of it says, bless, encourage, hold up, honor, support, or sustain. And here it is most obviously to be taken in this sense: provide for those widows, especially which are widows indeed. Persons truly destitute, being aged and helpless, and having neither children nor friends to take care of them, and who behave as becometh their destitute state. We have a lot of them in our area that their children probably, if they have children, a few children, they have moved away a long time ago, like to bigger cities or stuff like that, you know, where like years ago, and now that they're probably the widows, when their husbands passed away, you know, they stay alone. They don't have no place to go. It's just that's home for them, and they're like up in age, and they have no place really where they prefer to go than to stay where they're at. So just to come around and bless them is something that seemed to make a huge difference, and it's very obvious that God is in it. A few points on top there. Says, you are a reflection of God's love as your hand becomes God's hand extended to the widows. Hospitality is key. It is a universal ministry. Confession of faith reveals Christ in our convictions, but hospitality reveals Christ moving in our hearts. There's a difference yet. Reaching out and touching people brings fulfillment into our lives that has kingdom value. The Lord never told the world to go to the church. He told the church to go to the world. For us, that's a ministry, like reaching out to people that don't even have Christ in their heart, that have all kinds of bitterness, and there's a lot of that too, where we can truly bring Christ to them. Just to show the difference as Christians, as someone that has an eternal, like for us to look forward to an eternal home. And most of them would have some kind of a faith, I guess. Lots of them are Catholics, and so on. So it's an outreach. We invite every widow or widower. We started to do widowers as well. We didn't do that at the beginning, to have widowers with the widows. But we've done that, started doing that now too, which seemed to be very well accepted. Matthew 25, 40, and the king will answer and say to them, assuredly I say to you, inasmuch as you did it unto one of the least of these, my brethren, you did it unto me. So it's how we treat God in this world. Okay, so for us to start off in a year, I guess the first year it was more of a family thing. We had a few helpers. My wife's brother and his wife helped us a bit to bring him in, like to go pick him up. But from there on, it's been more of a community. Yeah, just come on in and sit down. Whoever wants to join, you're welcome. By now we have more of a bit of a board or a committee that, like some other families that have been with us for a number of years, well, for almost from the beginning when we started, each one kind of enjoys doing it. Everyone is blessed. They want to do it again and again. It's just something they look forward to when the year or the time of the year comes that to have a banquet, they want to be part of it. So make sure you have enough responsible help, such as head cook, transportation supervisor, registration personnel, decorating coordinator, and finance manager, whatever. I just threw a few points together, and again, these notes are not like, I try to make them kind of hang together as much as possible. I've never done a workshop before, so this is new to me. So hope you're still going to be blessed. The first point, first thing to look at, I guess, is, to determine when or where do you want to have a banquet. So based on the opportunity and open doors, where do you see really does God open a door? Where do you find lonely people or so on? There's some pictures. I'm going to try to follow along with that or follow the pictures along. That's one place where we had a banquet. Or we've had him for a number of years in that place, kind of a central town, and there's little villages around that town. And this is in a community center. There's places where it's just more open for everyone to come, I guess. They don't feel as if it's a church necessarily that tries to bring them into their church, even though that's a very good thing to do. I would not discourage that. It's just sometimes to reach out, whether it's more of a neutral setting. So a central location and, what do we sense? Is there a good place with a lot of widows around the area or enough that it's worthwhile? We definitely have had them in churches too. This is one church. It's not a very big church, but, this one probably we would have had like around 20 to 30 widows here. This is in a larger town, but again, this we only had a couple times that we've had a banquet in this town. So at the beginning, it's always normally it would be less. It starts to really pick up after a year or two. And in our hometown where we've had it the longest, the amount has decreased a little bit. Lots of these. Older widows, they passed away or they are not capable to come anymore. Quantity changes as depends on the situations. Suitable location, keep in mind the majority of widows that come will likely be older. Choose a building without a lot of steps, a place for handy vans to get close to the door and so on, close by parking for those that drive themselves. It should be a cozy place with decent temperature settings, with a good kitchen to prepare the meal, and a place to present a program. So everything makes a difference. It's not, I'm sure we all have common sense and would think of it. I know when we had it at our house, we had not been aware how hard it is for some of this, older people to walk steps or to get up. And we just hadn't thought about that then, and it really became a point after, and try to help them up the steps and so on. Attendance may be better if your banquet is a public community. Okay, we touched on that before, rather than a church. Your home can also be a good place. Number two. Dates. Well, we have dates on here. That's when we have had them last year, is in starting in November 26, going to December 12. So it's I think it's 8 banquets in 12 days, 12, 13. No, it's a little more than 13, or a little over 2 weeks, I should say. So there's normally we would have at least one day in between. From one banquet to the next, it would. There's sometimes when we have one right after the other, and to us it's been amazing to see how, through the years as you learn with details what to do with this or that, and that we come to a time where actually it's less stressful through the banquets than it is before the banquets. I mean, just the more preparation you do in advance, the less work it is through the banquet time, and you can really focus more on how God is working, what his passion is behind it, or what he likes to see, instead of all the surrounding issues to be ready. So choose a banquet, a date, and reserve the place. And to reserve a place, normally sooner the better, for sure. Check community events. Sometimes there's community events that will eliminate them from coming. So, you know, we check out those things first, just to make it most efficient. Number three, invitation. Okay, this would be. Yeah, this here actually is a note that we send out for fundraising. Just local businesses and churches or individuals who have shown interest. We don't do a whole lot. Like, it doesn't take much, like a handful or a dozen of businesses and churches, and everyone kind of likes to see what's happening. They kick in the expenses, you know, their donations, and it covers the expenses. That would be more of number four there, I guess. How will this event be funded? We have found, yeah, you know, businesses and stuff like that. They all enjoy to be part of it, so it's in a small stage is how we do it, but it works. It works for us. So basically giving them, just renew their minds. Hey, what are we doing? It's the banquets and approximate cost per widow, or what we're going to run into, a little bit of what the plan is, and we send that out, email it out or whatever. And it shows a bit of some of where the expenses go to. Decorating is a good part. We like to have it real special for them. Promotional gifts. We give them a gift every time. Try to keep that below $5 each. Meals. So you see the years there, 2007, 2008, 2009. Not to go through all the financials, but gives you a little bit of a picture of that. So then it comes to inviting the widows. So it takes quite a... Well, the ladies all enjoy to do a special, you know, handmade card to make them really feel touched, or that it has a special touch to it. What we put in to invite them, and who they contact if they want to register, and so on. That's what it talks about there, number three. Just a little bit of what that card looks like when we do an invitation. It's all handmade, and ladies have fun come together and to make them up. Preparation, that's gifts preparing. Last year we did the pillows. That's there, number five. We try to keep the cost under five. And it was amazing, actually, these pillows. We got material from a large furniture place where they did sofas and they had material to do the pillows, and they actually made the inserts complete, so we just did the outside. And there's another ministry called Pillow Ministries. They actually have that name, Pillow Ministries, out in Winkler, Manitoba, and they require that we put on, or we can tell them what Bible verse we want to have on that pillow. It's supposed to be something that Jesus has said. A verse from the Bible where it's Jesus said whatever, and a cross on it. That's their outreach. And our ladies were putting it together, like putting the insert into the cover and sew them up. So that was last year's gift for each widow. This is gifts from earlier on. Whatever that was it mugs? We had we ordered mugs actually from Florida, I think the company was, where we ordered mugs from, and we put the name like Widows 2008 or Widows Banquet 2008 on the mugs itself. So 500 or so, that worked out well. Just a little bit more pictures of them. This is where they receive the gifts, and So we go over to the meals, confirm the head cook is one thing to do, as you know, when we start or plan to who's going to take care of all the meals, confirm the menu, make a list of food items, quantity required, confirm how many cooks and servers it will take, prepare and a task list, whatever, just to be prepared in advance, which y'all probably do know a lot more of how to do that than what we do. But yeah, it has worked pretty good for us. So there's a number of pictures, a little bit of preparing food. It's a family thing. It's even us guys enjoy preparing food, you know, and help decorate and whatnot. See who can do the best job of something like that. So every little bit counts. My wife has clearly taught that to me, or showed that to me, that every little detail makes a difference at the end of the day when we bring them in. Decorating, yeah, it's also a team that works together, a little bit of a separate team that's focusing on decorating. What to decorate, what theme, I guess, based on what the program is like, you know, kind of choose a little bit accordingly. Year to year, we have a little bit different focus on what theme we bring out, to minister or the program and so on. So it takes the tables, and there's a name tag table, and there's the entrance auditorium and the stage, and everywhere needs to be decorated certain ways. So and the gifts are nicely put in order, and so it's a lot of fun and a lot of work, and when they come in, it's a special touch. They're obviously very touched by someone doing it for them, which they're not used to, that someone do it for free. I mean, just without a charge, go and serve them and bless them. To me, it's one thing to bless the seniors in the community is such a key thing. They deserve honor. They have done so much to build a community and to bring us to where we're at. And the other thing is to think of the lonely people in the area. So that's the program. Volunteers that are, after the meal, we have a program. It's an excellent opportunity to share the gospel and encourage them in different ways. So about a 45-minute program normally, not to make it too long, but, just go right into it after the meal. Lots of singing, instruments, and drama, and chalk and so on, different. My wife does chalk art. It's a special gift that she has that she can do it. Tanya, our daughter, has done some of that too. There's some of the young people that sing. It's kind of a different background there, but that's all works. That's our family. And a few men that sing. That was a bit of a drama, I guess, to show a Bible story. Another one, a song that they sing along, and it's supposed to just really give them an impression a little bit about what the truth of the, you know, Word of God is. Okay, so we're down to transportation. Transportation, it takes a supervisor for that too. When time comes, it all has to be planned, because we offer transportation. We offer to pick them up, and it depends what their situation is. Do they need a handy van where they come with a wheelchair, and then we would hire a van, and we know how many they bring, and just so that each one, that's it. If we have 100 widows, it takes a lot of coordinating to make sure at that day, that at that time, they will all be there for the service or for the banquet. So it's quite busy, especially the day the event happens. The transportation supervisor will confirm how many widows need transportation, how many vehicles needed, confirm drivers, and give each driver a list of names with addresses where and when to pick them up and to make sure they're back in time. We will either pay the handy van transfer or those with walkers or wheelchairs and have volunteers pick them up. Pick the others up. Some will come with their own vehicles. That happens too. Okay, so that gives probably a bit of an idea there. Yeah, so it's just to handle them with care and know that that we all treat them the way God wants us to treat them. Respectful, loving, and kind. And as they come there, it's a bit of a dark picture, but there's greeters at the door. I don't have a picture of that, but just to open the door and greet them as they come in. Take the coats off, give them the coats, probably name tags or whatever, like they actually, so they can find them after when they want to leave, that it's efficiently done and they know where they're at. And then, name tags, so that they can get to know each other and so on. So as they come in, it would be if after the name tags, it would be ushers and us as hosts would probably greet them and just talk to them and just make them really feel at home and comfortable. So then there's something not quite lining up here. It's a few comments. We put comment cards on the table so they fill them out. They can put their names and addresses and anything they want to put on the card. So number 11 there, it says we put comments cards on the tables for them to put on their address and birthdays. This helps us get a mailing list for the next year banquet. If they have friends they would like us to add to our list, they can put those names and addresses down, and we also mail them a birthday card. That's another thing. That's one thing through the year that ladies are busy with is preparing cards and send them a birthday card through the year. It's just, kind of another handmade, normally handcrafted cards, which are very special to them. And actually, my wife done a lot of envelopes that she made herself or the group made. And what we hear from the widows, they say that the envelopes are so special, they keep the envelopes too. They never throw them away because they're kind of, she makes them out of old calendar pictures or all kinds of things. It's just another little touch that they, it's more for ladies, I think, than for men. But I just support and bless them for that, I don't know if we've heard that from the widowers, that they keep the envelopes. Have we heard that?
The widowers never send thank you cards.
Oh, they don't even send thank you cards. Yeah, that's the other thing. Hey, I know men have lots to learn from the ladies. And that's one thing. Ladies, there's quite lots of thank you cards that we receive back. They're just, they
will write thank you for the birthday card and the envelope.
Yeah, so some comment cards that we received back. Is that all under? I was looking forward to the widow's banquet again this year. The meal was lovely, your entertainment was inspirational and brought tears to my eyes. Yeah, thank you for sharing your faith, talent, and joy with all in attendance. How blessed we are to share this time together. My first time, and I'm very thankful I came. Everything was beautiful, and supper was the best. Thank you all, and I'm sure I'll be back. So that's it for the comment cards. Just a little more pictures of the banquet itself. When they are there, serving and program, singing, and food serving. So it's serving tables, and food is being dished out. We try to spread out the children and everyone to spread out around the tables on the inside if we set up tables so that they can visit and get to know them. And I'm blessed to see, like, little children, how they enjoy, being with seniors. I mean, how the seniors are blessed by having children close by. Again, their grandchildren are probably not around. And so that they have someone there to talk to, it's a blessing. They are really blessed. So that's this is what that lady said there, I guess. And Well, there's cleanup, I guess, to do after. So, again, the children can help with that too. There's all kinds of things to do. There's a little more of the banquet, gifts, and sharing time after the banquet. There's more of a picture of one place where it's always when we come in the morning to set up, or the day of the banquet. Like first thing, I guess, day before we prepare, we load, and then the morning we have the banquet. Well, get on the vehicle and go. If it's a half an hour or 1 hour or 10 minutes or, you know, just a little bit accordingly what we have to go. But normally try to be there around 9 o'clock and start. The decorating team will start with decorating. The cooks go into the, you know, prepare food. And then later on in the day, the drivers and servers come to help, you know, with the actual banquet itself, you know, to go pick up the widows or have prayer time before, just together, you know, be there in time and so that we're well prepared when the hour comes, when the wedding is on, I guess, when Jesus called the brides in. And so they're all facing towards the stage. And that's attendees that we've had. You know, different towns there where we had him. Ashern, Fisher Branch, Selkirk. Arbrick is our hometown. That's where we had them the first year. Like there's more years than this than what we had. And this is just a report from the last 3 years. We had in Arbrick, we started off with doing the men separate, or that's the first time we actually invited the widowers too. Before, it always was just the widows. And we had a few there. It seemed like they shy away a little more. They are not quite as interested in public settings. But we just now, this year, that we brought or did them together in Arbrick. And that's the only town where we've done them together as widows and widowers. And we feel quite positive we're going to do that in the future too, where we just invite all of them at the same place. And if they prefer to sit on a separate table, we give them the choice where they want to sit. It happens where some feel more comfortable just to sit as a group of men, but quite often they have friends, like widowers will have friends or relatives as widows, and they sit together. That's completely open. We don't try to promote or do anything with matchmaking and stuff like that. It could react sooner than to be a blessing that way. So we just kind of try to really prevent that, or just to leave it neutral. So Arbrick was the first year. That was the only, well, actually our home was the first year. The second, then it was, just the Arbrick town. And then Fisher Branch, and that's the next closer town. And Riverton on the other side of Arbrick. Well, it doesn't show here where exactly they are, but they're kind of spread out in the interlake there within the hour and a half from us. Portage de Prairie, that's the one furthest away, the last one here. That's the only one, or the one that we added last year in 2009. And there's very good response. The best thing you can do is if you find a senior coordinator in town that you can work with. If there's someone locally that knows the widows or knows the seniors, widowers, then she can do, or they can do the invitation, or they can, because they're not really, hand over a bunch of names. That's private information. And we understand that. So we just, once we've had a banquet, then we have a start. Then we have a bunch of names. They normally have no problem giving us the names once they know who we are. And they will give us names of others who haven't been there. And the second year, we normally have a lot more than the first year. Portage is a bigger town too. We had like, what is it, 45 there the first time, which is very good. Normally it would probably be only like, it could easily be only like 10 or 15 the first year. Um, But then it increases normally as, you know, as we see in some places it's decreased, as I mentioned before, that, yeah, most of these we've had longer than the 3 years. There's some that we've had just that long. Okay, that's the end of the show and the end of this. Is there any questions? I do have a bit of a promo video that we're going to play yet, just of the whole thing, kind of what we made up to promote the ministry. And maybe you have any questions right now before we do that, before we go over to that promo video. There's a lot more in Scripture that we would hear or can learn from. How does God look at that picture of lonely people? And there is a certain amount of loneliness that we don't notice. Even, you know, they can be around people and whatnot. All kinds of programs going, but there is a certain amount of loneliness, and we all experience loneliness in our heart. But there's a different, there's still a different loneliness that people like that experience, which we can learn a lot from, and we could go a lot more into details. Did you have a question?
Yeah. Is there a particular night of the week that you aim for in terms of volunteers? Does it affect that?
We, as far as day of the week, we have almost any day. We look at the community, and yeah, of course, as volunteers, we would.
Yeah, in our area, bingo is big, like in the communities. And so the thing that we check for first is if that's not among the volunteers, but that's among the widows. And if you pick a banquet for bingo night, they won't come. And so we first make sure that it's not happening. But then for, because volunteers, we have people from different churches asking if they can help. We have more, you know, that we
just come here. Them. Just come here and share your heart. You have a big heart, I know.
Yeah. We have more problems with not being able to have everybody involved that would like to be involved. Yeah.
Yeah.
And yeah. It's the first year I went door to door, like to the widows, and invited them, and some of them were just like, this is free. I mean, this is a catch for sure. This is a trick. And many of them wouldn't come. But then they heard from the ladies that came. And so next year I had them calling me and asking, are you going to do this again? Can you put my name on the list? So it's really been word of mouth that really went up to, yeah, we have 500 and some on our list now. So
how they change from once they get to know what's behind it, or once they build up a trust, it's just amazing how they change. As far as your question, the date, we prefer to do it through the week. Most of them have time through the week. There's times when we do it on a Sunday, but normally try to do like at least one day in between one to the next, just for refreshing and preparation and everything. Yeah, and I don't see that to be any, you know, it could be different in a different area, different setting. It's all up to each one. But the time of the year, I would think of a little more. What time of the year really is a good time for banquets for seniors to have best time? Or we have normally done it, you know, as we saw, like close to Christmas. This year, actually, we want to do it now in the fall yet. First year that we're going to, you know, do it a couple of months before. And the reason is Christmas seemed to be, it gets fairly close to Christmas where they have a lot of, there's more things now starting to happen where their families are coming home or, so it's, yeah, what, that's
then
the bigger
reason.
Then
again, for some, it's, you know, it's too bad we don't do it at Christmas because that is the only Christmas thing that they have. But the majority of them do have somebody, you know, some relatives or something that come.
Yeah. Julia, you want to share something yet? About, she is so responsible in this too. our children really enjoy it too and take responsibility in that. So if you just have something to share that you want to share.
Well, I just wanted to say I think that's one of the best decisions Mom and Dad ever made, was to get involved in a ministry like that. It really does something to your children when your mom and dad lead you in ministering to other people and are an example in that. And we sisters have laughed sometimes when people tell you, well, so what do you do on a Sunday afternoon? And oftentimes we'd like to do nothing else than to go visit widows and just talk with them, because they're some of our best friends. And I think that is a blessing. And especially the widows too, a lot of them are very depressed as they look down at their grandchildren and at the youth of today. And in the towns, it gives the widows a really hopeless feeling at where is this world coming to. And when they see families come with children that are actually interested in learning from the past, and children who, like us, we ask them questions. So what would you do in a situation like this? What did you do back then when you were little? What worked and what didn't work? And it just really encourages them. I find that they just really enjoy talking with us. And even my little brother and sister, they can't wait for Widow's Banquet because they want to talk with the widows and they want to hear their stories and things. So just the relationship and trying to keep that up through the year. It's really hard when by now we have so many. It's really difficult to keep in contact with them. From the beginning, when we just had 15 come to our house, I remember through the year, Mom would help us girls bake cookies, and we would go to the widows and we would bring them cookies and things. But by now, there's only a few that have been there for all the way from the beginning, and we really keep in contact with those. But with 500, you can't really do that anymore. But we try to get the people in the community where we're at to get them involved to do something with the widows throughout the year. And just this year, just before we came here, we had the Portage of the Prairie, the one we did it for the first time at Christmas. They had a widow's tea party that just the community people there started because of how they saw the response to the widow's banquet. And so that was very encouraging. We went there and sang for them a little bit. It's something that it'll grow much faster that way if you can give the vision to the people next to you, to where you go and start the widow's banquet and just have people there who keep it going. Yeah, the widow's banquets have blessed me probably more than any of the widows. I feel that a lot of direction for my life, a lot of love for visiting with seniors and just building friendships with them has started from that ministry. So I'm grateful for the opportunity.
Thank you, Julia. Any other questions? It's definitely encouraging to us as a family and to people around. Just as she touched on a new, first time in that town or that place, and just the inspirement, just the way some of those people that were involved from there, how it inspired them to serve, to do somewhat with the people there. Okay, let's look at promotion a little bit. It's somewhat repeating, I guess, from what we heard, but
preparing banquets for the widows. This is a real tremendous blessing that we can serve the widows. We really try hard to make them feel welcome and to make them feel special.
Without a doubt, the widows were deeply touched when we saw that God richly blessed this event. At this first banquet in December of 2002, with 15 widows attending, we served them a Christmas dinner, we sang for them, and gave them a hand of gift. Today, we are serving 500 plus widows in 8 different communities.
greet the widows at the door, and then later I get to chat with them while we're eating. One of my highlights in the Widow Circles each year is the time during the meal when I get to sit with the widows and listen to them, share their stories, and give me their encouragement and advice. They have so much to say from all their years of experience, and I really enjoy that time of interaction.
You'll be there for you, whatever you're going through.
guess that's it?
One of the widows told me that she...
Oh, sorry, it's not it. I thought you were at the end. Keep going.
She said at this banquet was the first time that she felt she was alive. And another lady told me that she was so sad to be a widow. And she missed her husband terribly, but she said tonight, for a few hours, everything seemed to be all right. And it's just our prayer that God will be able to just comfort them and touch them, and they will feel a touch of love through the banquet, whether it's through the food or the fellowship or the singing or drama or the gift that we prepared for them.
We are blessed to see how God is providing for banquets to serve 500 as he did for 15. The Bible clearly tells us to honor and care for our widows. We encourage you to consider this ministry in your area as we see great potential for this ministry anywhere in the world.
Lord God, we thank you for this opportunity that we have in this world, that we can serve you in this way. Father, I pray that you would just, that your will would be done. Through Christians, we have received such a gift from you. And Lord, that your love always flows through us, and that we can be a little bit of that to others, Lord. And most of all, that your love, you want to work through us. You want to flow your love through us to other people, and especially those in need, those of helpless, those in, that are lonely. Lord, I pray tonight or this afternoon for these that have come. God, would you give them a vision, give them direction, what your will is for them, and where they can do what you give them to do, or the opportunity that they have to minister to widows, to widowers, and to whoever is lonely in the area, to seniors who deserve honor and respect. God, just be there for those that are lonely. I pray right now for the widows in this community, the surrounding area here. Father, just be there, their father, be their comforter, be with them, God. You say in your word, God, that you are the father to the fatherless. Thank you, God, that you make it possible. Without you, it would not be possible. Oh Lord, I pray a special blessing on each one. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, you're dismissed. Free to go.
There's some scrapbooks on the table here of the different years. If anybody's interested, you can look at them.